L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gettysburg, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863. It is now July 11th, 1863. What starts as the draft, the wheel is working today, was the way it was threatened in Greeley's Tribune. The wheel is working today. The draft leads to the draft riots in New York City. The mob, and that's what it was, tore into anything they could touch. They battled the police. They charged an orphanage that was saved by the police, an orphanage for African-American children, called colored at the time, a colored orphanage. Freedmen were murdered in the street and lynched. The mob roamed back and forth between the wards in New York. It went on for the 11th and the 12th. The New York militia was not there. It had been sent to Gettysburg, so it was beckoned to come back. I mention this because Gettysburg is not about a battle of heroes fighting off the invader force from Mars, and we're completely supported by the innocents back home whom we're saving from the depredations of the Martians. No, the Civil War was in every home, was in every city. New York City was more aligned with the Democratic Party, that was more aligned with the Confederacy than not. The Republican Party was an outlier at the time, although it later would become dominant after the war. The draft riots were a tragedy and a horror. Eventually, forces from the Gettysburg battlefield had to be beckoned back to New York to put down and end the rioting on the 16th. And ever since that, ever after that, there were doubts about the loyalty of the people of New York. Jeff, I tell that story because oftentimes you can think Gettysburg is a noble victory and the Confederates were villains. But in fact, there were villains at any moment everywhere in that confused time, and there was nothing but disunion. And Abraham Lincoln, a man you celebrate correctly, and I join you in celebration, he knew of this tragedy. He knew that there was violence in every direction, not just on the battlefield.
No, no doubt about it, John. And of course, he does, in fact, send federal troops to make sure that particular draft riot is put down. You know, along the way, he also receives an interesting message from General Meade. Meade will send him a message saying, "Mr. President, I have successfully defended the nation from invasion." And as you say, it wasn't from Mars. Meade being very excited about having been the first Union general really to defeat Robert E. Lee. Lincoln, however, is despondent because he thought there was an opportunity to win the war. And he'll write a response to Meade, which he never sends. And in that response, he says, "My dear general, you can't defend the nation because it's one nation. And you let Bobby Lee get away." But he folds that letter, sends it, puts it in an envelope, puts it in his center desk drawer, and never sends it. I think it was a matter of Lincoln being very despondent, but needing to get that out of his soul, but realizing Meade had been successful and now vilifying him was not going to help what Lincoln ultimately wanted to do, which was preserve the Union and ultimately end slavery.
November 19th, 1863, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. The president arrives to dedicate the Soldiers' National Cemetery in Gettysburg. You find his speech extremely significant for a decision he made about what we were fighting for. Explain, please, Jeff.
Well, first of all, of course, you got to understand that Lincoln wasn't the primary speaker. The primary speaker was Edward Everett, a very famous orator who had been governor of Massachusetts and president of Harvard University. And he will receive an invitation, he, Everett, on the 23rd of September. Lincoln is not invited until about 10 days before the actual event occurs to make a few appropriate remarks. Everett will speak for 2 hours, which was not uncommon for oratory in those days, and then Lincoln will mount the platform and deliver the Gettysburg Address, 272 words. And you know, John, you can divide the Gettysburg Address easily into three parts as a vision statement or a restating of a vision by a leader. Where we've been 47 years ago, which takes you to the Declaration of Independence. Where are we now? We met on a great battlefield of this war. Where are we going? We're going to a new birth of freedom. And so it's my firm belief with that speech, what Lincoln does is expand the vision for the war. The war is still about preserving the Union, as he had so clearly enunciated in his first inaugural. But now he's combined that with ending slavery. And he will insist, much to the consternation of senior Republicans, that the Republican platform for the presidential election of 1864 insists on a constitutional amendment to ending slavery as part of the platform they'll run for re-election on.
Which becomes the 13th Amendment, then the 14th Amendment, then the 15th Amendment that we depend upon today. You mentioned the election of 1864. Again, I wanted to underline the fact that the Battle of Gettysburg, coming at the same time as the victory in Vicksburg by Grant and Sherman and other generals, did not win the war. The war continues. I believe, Jeff, you've made it very clear that half the deaths happened after Gettysburg. And Gettysburg was a midpoint that did not determine the future, nor did it determine Lincoln's success in 1864. He thought as late as August of 64 that he would be defeated and that the Confederacy was exhausting his ability to continue on the battlefield. Even with Grant in the field commanding the Army of the Potomac, there was despair. And there's nothing, the way I read it, Jeff, is that you can't count on victories by Sherman at Atlanta and Sheridan in the Valley and Farragut in Mobile Bay. That's not a campaign strategy. That's Providence delivering victories for Lincoln so that he wins 64.
That's absolutely correct, John. I mean, as you said, in August of 1864, Lincoln believes he's going to lose. He'll sign a memorandum, so-called blind memorandum, which he says, I believe we're going to lose, and if we do, then we must do everything we can between Election Day in November and the inauguration in March, the inaugurations in March in those days, to bring this war to a successful close, because my successor will be unable to do so. He will have campaigned on a platform to negotiate. But battlefield turns to his favor with those successes. You point about Lincoln is reelected. And what I also like to point out, John, then when he is inaugurated for the second time in March and he mounts that platform, you know, the audience on that particular morning in March of 1865, hundreds of thousands of people present, all of whom had lost somebody in the Civil War, brother, father, son, uncle. Lincoln could have given a very vengeful address and said, you know, now that the war is about over and they knew they were winning, once this is over, I'm going to hang Jefferson Davis right here. I'm going to hang Robert E. Lee right next to him and gone down the list. And my guess, the crowd would have said, that works just fine, Mr. Lincoln. Thank you very much. But what does Lincoln say that day? Well, he goes back to his initial themes in the first inaugural. With malice towards none, with charity towards all, bind up the nation's wounds. He reminds them of the purpose of the war, which was to preserve the Union and not to wreak vengeance in its aftermath.
Jeff, we have about a minute. You've walked the battlefield in all weathers, at all times of year. Can you hear the guns?
I think at times you can hear the guns. You can, you know, Joshua Chamberlain will say when he dedicates the monument to the 20th of May, this, he calls it a place of souls. And he says, you know, men and women that we know not of will come from afar to ponder and to dream on this soulless field. And that's what I think people do on the battlefield. And as we come in this weekend, I always go down early in the morning. I'll probably go tomorrow morning, really early in the morning, on my bike when it's very quiet. I'll ride the battlefield. I'll stop where Robert E. Lee was when he observed Pickett's charge. And if you're really quiet, you listen to the birds, you can get a sense of what it was like to be a soldier preparing to make that attack on the third day.
And all that black powder smoke. Jeff McCausland, CBS News. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.